You're in Braves country.
Your Atlanta Braves are hitting the off season. We thought this would be a good time to go ahead and get into some pretty interesting stuff that is out there for the Atlanta Braves. One of the things that people keep wondering about, because it's one of these things that we go through every single year, right? As far as how much money do the Atlanta Braves really have to play with in the off season? And there's a couple of things that you have to keep in mind. One of the main things that I like to keep in mind with this is that although Anthopoulos has been pretty much on board with spending a lot during the offseason and getting the team ready for the offseason, you also have to look at the fact that they do want to have some money available if they decide later on that they want to make a move at the deadline. Now, the one thing I'll say about that is I've read a couple of articles about this, and they keep pointing to that and saying, well, we have to have money available. We haven't done anything at the deadline. We really haven't. And even though he will make it available and will want to be, I think he'll want to be a little more aggressive this deadline after seeing what happened last year. But all in all, most of the moves that are made by Anthopoulos are typically made in the offseason. He doesn't do a lot of things at the we have never had a major deadline move. You got to remember, back in 2021, when we made the move for Rosario, he was on the IL. He was looked upon as an afterthought. Most folks did not want to make a move for him, right? When we, that same offseason, Jock Peterson was looked upon as someone that the Cubs were just trying to get rid of. The same thing with Jorge Soler. He was having a terrible year in Kansas City. So, though these moves ended up getting the Atlanta Braves where they needed to be to win a championship, it did not mean that they made big moves. They made very, very small moves. Catching lightning in a bottle. Now, the Braves opened up as a top 10 payroll in 2023. They were checking in at $203 million. Now, that's a little skewed because what's not taken into effect, because it ends up being significantly higher, are some of the other numbers that end up kicking in later. But those were the bare bones, $203 million. And it wasn't anywhere close to what the Mets did going into the season. The Mets had a $343 million. And though the New York media continued to tap the desk about that number, they ended up spending $450 million. To have just a miserable season. I think it was actually closer to 460, but it was right in that range. So with all that being said, where are the Braves going into this year? And they've got a lot of roster long-term deals that are fixed in, and you look at the number, they talked about it several times. They did not want to go above $22 million. Now, will that AAV go up a little bit this year? Possibly. But it's not going to exceed much more that. They were reluctant to break the 22 AAV. That's one of the reasons why Dansby Swanson ended up in Chicago. Dansby Swanson got significantly less money if he stays in Atlanta. And honestly, the Braves were looking at it, and they were right that Orlando Arcia could be a good fill-in, and they believed it so much they ended up signing Arcia to a long-term contract that was announced just before opening day, just before the first pitch. So we go into 2023, into the 24 offseason, and you got to factor a lot of things in. 40-man roster cuts, retained salaries, known as dead money, and the projection that Atlanta's competitive balance tax payroll broke $250 million, just over $250, and that is about $17 million over the $233 threshold. Now, the threshold goes up a little bit this year. I think it goes to $236. I might be off by one. It might be $237. But it's right there in that neighborhood this year. And the Braves have shown that they don't mind going over that, but they don't want to go into the next threshold, which would be the next jump, which at that point you're talking about well above 250 into closer to the 270 range. So entering 2024, if you cut away all the fine print and you're like, what do we have to spend? Entering 2024, the team has just over $131 million committed to the roster long-term deals. When you add in what's expected to be arbitration figures, and these were projected out by MLB Trade Rumors, it should be equal about, not exactly, but in the neighborhood of $46 million if all eligible are tendered a contract. And that's one of the things we're going to get into, because I'm not convinced they're all going to get tendered. And so you're looking at roughly $177 million. Now, one of the things that would free up about $20 million of that, and I have a feeling it's going to happen, and I don't know if it's good or bad, because the man's given us a lot of good innings. He was injured this postseason, but it was a fluky injury. Charlie Morton comes back at the current price of $20 million if the club option is picked up, but it may not be up to the Atlanta Braves. There's a very strong belief that the Atlanta Braves are going to end up seeing Charlie Morton retire. And so that would bring the number back down to about 157. And so if there's no Morton, you're talking about 157. Now you're talking about being able to spend a lot more money at that point. So somewhere in that neighborhood is what we're looking at. Now, Rosario is another one. If Rosario does not get picked up, that would be another $7 million. $9 million. And so at that point, let's say we don't have Eddie and we don't have Charlie. That alone is going to free up $29 million. And if you go the $29 million route, you're talking about $148 is what's being spent. And this is assuming arbitration, and there's some arbitration deals that I'm not 100% sure that they're going to go with. One of them that everyone's going to keep an eye on is Michael Soroka. Soroka, he's a shell of his former self, but do the Braves believe that another year they can get him right? Here's the problem with Soroka if you sign him. Here's the number one problem. And maybe he comes back on a much cheaper deal because he wants to prove himself and he wants to stay with the organization. But you never know if someone else is going to offer him a better deal. That's the risk that you're going to have out there. But here's the thing. Let's say the Braves say, we want to bring him back. We don't want anyone else to have the ability to grab Soroka. So we're going to bring him back, and we're going to pay him what will probably be somewhere between the $3 to $4 million range. because he is no longer with options. If you sign Soroka and you bring Mike Soroka back, Soroka has to stay on the roster, the 26-man roster, which means you cannot be sending him back down to the minor leagues unless there's an injury. So because he's out of options, that's a huge problem for the Braves. I personally think that they're better off cutting bait and getting younger arms, wishing Soroka well. If he wants to come back on a minor league deal, okay, fair enough. But if he wants to make sure that he goes to the major leagues this year, he has the right to do that. He's put in his time, although most of it's been on the IL. He has put in his time. You run the risk of him going out there, finding his next gear, and having a heck of a career, and someone gets a deal. But you also run the risk of basically throwing away the money on his contract, because if he ends up coming out of the gates and pitching the way he pitched last year, I'm sorry, but he's not going to be on a major league roster that is trying to make a run at the postseason. It's just, it's not feasible. It makes zero sense. So I personally would like to see Soroka let loose, but I'm not above them bringing him back on just a cheaper deal. But it needs to be a minor league deal, because you need to have the ability to start the season down in the minors. But if he is hellbound and determined, I want to play in the major leagues this year, I'm tired of bouncing back and forth, I need to get my chance. If he believes that he is the guy that he was in 2019, then I think you're taking a huge risk, considering the... You're not taking a huge risk if you're a team like the New York Mets, who have unlimited resources, but you're taking a huge risk if you're the Braves, because then you start painting yourself into a corner. You better work out, because if he doesn't work out, look out. Now, some of this can be absorbed if a Charlie Morton and an Eddie Rosario doesn't come back, because at that point you're saving $29 million. And if you sign Soroka, but you sign a backup plan with it, then we're talking about a possibility of it working out. I don't like the idea. I watched him in his minor league games. I watched him doing the play-by-play this year. There is nothing about Michael Soroka that screams starting rotation for the Atlanta Braves, who want to try to kick in the door and get back to the World Series this year. There's nothing about him. You're going to try to tell me that Frisbee calls it a slider. It is not a slider. It's almost between this a curve and a slider, but not the traditional slurve that you see, because it's flat. So it's really, I guess it's, I'm going to call it a swerve, because it's almost like the sweeper, but it's got the pace of a curveball, and it really does not bite. Now, can he go back in the offseason and fix that? Maybe. I don't know. But I'm going off of what I've seen. And from what I've seen, it's been awful. And I know that so many of us, and I was included in this for the longest time, want to see him do well, because we're stuck on the 2019 version in our heads, and all we can say to ourselves is, man, if we can just get him back to that, how fun will this be? This will be incredible. Come on, let's go. Let's do it. Let's get it. But the fact remains, it's just not doable. So I would like to see him come back on a minor league deal, maybe. But it's got to be a very club-friendly one. And at this point, he may look at it as, hey, I want to stick with these same coaches, and maybe I owe them a year. considering all the money they've spent on me the last few years, and away we go. But if you bring him on the regular deal, you got to be damn sure that he's going to be able to make that roster. And do we want to go through this, Braves country? Do we want to go through this in the middle of the offseason or in the middle of the spring training, watching him throw, watching him be the same former shell of himself, and at the same time, we end up going in here and seeing Soroka go out there, they shoehorn him into the starting rotation, or even the bullpen at that point. And then we deal with this for several weeks where Soroka's out there getting hammered, and you start keep getting the same old talk, and you'll get the same coach speak from Snicker and all the rest. Well, he's working on some things, and he'll get to it, and this and that. Meanwhile, the losses are piling up. His ERA's through the roof. I'd rather see them just cut bait. And we'll talk about some of the options here in a second on who the Braves could bring in. But the other thing that hangs big time, I don't believe they'll do it, because he was damaged goods this year, and they're really going to be kind of stuck trying to move a Max Fried. But there was a potential that Max Fried could get dealt at the offseason before he went on the IL this year. And he came back and he pitched fine. I'm not going to kill him for not being absolutely perfect in game two of the playoffs. I mean, we came back and won the game. We didn't win it because of Max Fried, but we came back and won the game. But Max Fried is in a walk year. And what do you do with that if you are Alex Anthopoulos? Do you take him all the way to the walk year, knowing darn good and well you're not re-signing him? We talked about the $22 million is the essential ceiling for most extensions for Anthopoulos. Maybe he would give Max a tad higher, being a starting pitcher and a veteran. But he's not going much higher than that. And Max Fried has gotten all the way to where he gets his chance. And he's earned the right to test the free agent market, that's for sure. I can't say that he hasn't. But if you hold on to Max Fried the entire season, and then at the end of the year, he walks, you're only going to get a draft pick compensation. You don't get a whole lot back. You really don't. And so that's going to be the issue. That's going to be the number one issue. Do they hold on to Max? Because when we hit the winter meetings here in a few weeks, that's the first thing that I'm going to be looking at and combing through and seeing any kind of rumors that are going to be coming across the board, because that would be a mega deal. If Max Fried gets moved, but you bring back a pitcher with controllable years, and maybe you bring back another piece, whether it's another starting pitcher, whether it's a relief pitcher, maybe it's a different position, it could be a possibility. And Anthopoulos is known to make one major move at the deadline. Or excuse me, not the deadline. During the winter break, he tends to make one big splash. In 2020, it was Charlie Morton. I know nobody knew we were about to hit the pandemic, but it was Charlie Morton. In 2021, he brought in Matt Olson. In 2022, he brought in Sean Murphy. You expect him to make a deal, whether it's a free agent signing or a trade. But I can tell you this, there's going to be discussions. He may not pull the trigger, but you'd be a fool to think that Max Fried is not going to be a part of the discussions in Nashville, Tennessee in a few weeks at the winter meetings. He just is. And it's going to be very, very difficult for Anthopoulos to make that move, because Max Fried, although he did come over from the San Diego trade years ago, we all know that, and fought through the Tommy John, and we all know that stuff. He feels like homegrown because of how long he's been with the organizations. It's going to be a bitter pill to swallow. And the injuries to Kyle Wright, who now it's being reported that he's going to be out for the entire 2024 season. I saw one article where they talked about there was a possibility he could come back at the end. Stop it with that, because we're going to start with that clock and that nonsense, and he'll never come back in time, and you'll just be rifling through the clickbait all damn year paying attention. Kyle Wright's not pitching in 2024. He had shoulder surgery. He's done. The Soroka thing, we talked about it. And then, of course, you got Ian Anderson. Ian Anderson, who would be scheduled to come back sometime in the middle of the summer this coming year, late summer. That's going to be another one. But remember, before he went and had his injury, had his surgery, Ian Anderson was not the Ian Anderson of old. So does he come back as a better pitcher? Or is he always going to be kind of what Soroka has turned into so far as, man, what could have been if he could have only stayed healthy? So these are some of the main things that we're looking at. And you go to the hard numbers. If Morton does retire and they don't pick up Rosario's deal, a lot of folks think they're going to. Man, I just say why. I get that he brought you 20 home runs. I think it was actually 21. But he's turned into a platoon player. And the straw that broke this camel's back is this. His final at bat in 2023 says everything that you need to know about Eddie Rosario and where he is. He comes in with the tying runs in an elimination game on first and third, one out. He's facing a left-hander. You don't love the matchup, but hey, give Eddie his chance. He has surprised. And he swings at the first damn pitch he sees. And it was a bad pitch. And he pops up a weak ball into left field, and there it was. And that's all I need to know about Eddie Rosario. I still feel like there's an avenue there for Vaughn Grissom to come in and play in left field. And the shortstop thing didn't work out. He's still a pretty solid second baseman, but as far as shortstop, it never worked out. We tried to rush him to that. Maybe there's a way over years of working with guys like Ron Washington and whatnot, he could develop into a better shortstop option. But that would simply be in a platoon situation. But if you bring back Eddie Rosario, for the love of God, can we have Vaughn Grissom out there in left field? And I'm not talking about a platoon, straight platoon. I'm talking about give Vaughn, because you don't see as many left-handed starters as you used to. Most of them have been moved into the bullpen nowadays. I'm talking about having Vaughn Grissom out there on opening day and having Vaughn Grissom be your main outfielder. Even against right-handers, you would still give Eddie his at-bats, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to just see him like the way we saw Pilar. Pilar never got into a rhythm because we rarely saw a left-handed pitcher. And so he rarely got into the lineup. That's a real possibility to work him into left field. Much easier to get a guy acclimated to left field than it is to get him to shortstop. I think a lot of folks just thought you can slide a second baseman over to shortstop. It's in the infield, just on the other side. It's a totally different position, and one of, if not the most difficult positions to play in all of sports, not just baseball. So we know Anthopoulos is always known for a splash. Some of the other guys that are going to be impending free agents, guys like Joe Jimenez and Pierce Johnson, I don't know the chances that they're back. I think Jimenez is going to, because of his raw numbers, he is going to get a pretty hefty contract somewhere. Pierce Johnson, they may be able to find the money to bring him back, but most likely they're done. Brad Hand, Kirby Yates, and Colin McHugh all have very pricey options. Brad Hand, I believe, is absolutely done. I would be shocked to see Brad Hand come back. He is. Look, I actually thought that he did a pretty darn good job for Atlanta this year. I really did. But he's a situational pitcher, and you're not going to go out there, or you shouldn't go out there and spend that kind of money. Kirby Yates has a $5.75 million club option with a $1.25 buyout. Brad Hand has a $7 million mutual option and a $500,000 buyout. You can go ahead and already say goodbye to Brad Hand. They're not spending $7 million to bring back Brad Hand. The $500K, it's gone. Now, what you're talking about with Kirby Yates is, can you find a better option at $4.5 million or less than Kirby Yates? Because the $1.25 million buyout is factored into all the money that they would spend. So if that were to happen, you save $4.5 million, but are you going to get a return for that? A better return. Kirby Yates, for all his flaws, and we all know he wasn't perfect, he did eat a lot of innings. He was very reliable, and he pitched pretty darn well. Colin McHugh, $6 million club option with a $1 million buyout. He's getting bought out. You cannot tell me that they're going to pick up a $6 million option. Could they possibly bring some of these guys back on cheaper deals? It's possible. But to bring back Colin McHugh, I'm sorry, but at some point, if Colin McHugh is going to be the guy coming back, I've got to see something out of him, and you can't go off of blind faith. Which is essentially what you would be doing, is going off of blind faith, because you can't wait till this spring to find out whether or not his velocity goes back up, whether or not he gets rid of that god-awful sweeper. And he was calling it a sweeper. I'm sorry, but that thing was a sleeper. I called it the sleeper all year long because it was absolutely getting pummeled. And he was being put to sleep every single night that he was throwing it. And we love Colin McHugh. First of all, if you've ever seen him in the booth on the television broadcasts, he's done some during the spring training and whatnot. He's really good. That's number one. Number two, Colin McHugh was pretty darn good when he first got to Atlanta. But I don't know if he lost the velocity and that's why he went to that sweeper. It's a chicken and an egg thing. But when he went to that sweeper, that sleeper pitch, I mean, that thing's worse than what Soroka was throwing, where it would just sit there and hang. And if it somehow clipped the side of the zone as it passed the batter, he would get a strike here and there. But most of them, they were well out of the zone. They were easy to lay off of. And if they were in the zone, it was a hanger and it got banged out of the building. So I'm just at a point now where I would rather see that not happen. I really would. I'd rather see them go ahead and say goodbye to all of them. The Kirby Yates one is the most intriguing one to me because I think he's got the best chance of getting brought back because you're going to save 4.5. And if you just look at the market, typically that's going to be a very, very difficult one it's going to be very difficult to find a reliever at that number. So I could see them bringing him back. I could also see them saying, we're not going to bring him back. We're going to spend that money elsewhere, and we're going to rely on some of our younger guys coming in. Maybe there's some things off the scrap heap that we can find. We are putting the phone line up. So for those of y'all that can't see the screen, the number to call is 678-9600-9700. Talk about whatever you want to talk about in the world of Braves country. We're going to do this on Mondays. I don't expect a lot of people to call on Monday mornings. I know it's a weird morning, but I also think that we could get more of this as the hot stove heats up. We'll be here every Monday morning, 11 a.m., and we'll go for about 45 minutes or so. And if you miss it, you will catch the replay either on a YouTube channel, Braves Country Radio, or on 99.1 FM WQEE. It'll replay on Monday afternoons. But if you want to catch it live, if you got a call, if you just wanted a question answered, you can also fire that into the chat as well. But we want to give people an opportunity to call in if they want. And just remember, it's a family-friendly show. Watch the language and all that. So anyways, getting back to what the Atlanta Braves will be trying to save. If you save the six with Colin McHugh, but you are going to lose the $1 million. If you save the $7 million with Brad Hand, but you will have a 1.5 buyout. And maybe they do say goodbye to Kirby Yates. Although I know he's a very big favorite by Snicker and Company, so that will come into play. But those three buyouts altogether are going to be $2.75 million. The great thing about the Eddie Rosario is that there is no buyout. So they either pick him up at the $9 million, or they say kick rocks. That's the same thing with Charlie Morton. There is no buyout. It's a club option with no buyout. Those are your favorite kind because you don't get drilled in the process. But those are basically the biggest things. So when we go back to the original number, assuming some of these guys aren't picked up, you'll have somewhere between 140 and 148 million with the buyouts. You could be just under the 150. Considering the fact that the raw number last year was 203, you're talking about roughly, like I said, it's going to go up just a little bit, somewhere between the 50 to 55 million, even up to possibly 60 million. And they could get more aggressive if they really wanted to, but it's just going to handicap them at the end or in the middle of the season. And they have to have money to play with because they are on a budget. We're stuck in this predicament until 2027 when the current media deal expires and we get to renegotiate. Now, we might get bailed out in some of that, but I doubt it because of the folding of Bally Sports. But because Major League Baseball plans on running the operation, they might try to do what they can to keep everything together because they're going to continue to profit with the Atlanta Braves. Now, I don't know if the one question I have is, would they be able to, from my understanding with the contract setup, Major League Baseball either has to run the whole nine yards or they have to close shop and let all the teams find their own provider. And if they close shop, that could get the Braves out of the deal much quicker, which would be great. They have one of the worst contracts in all of television history. When you're considering what the Braves could be bringing in and what they do bring in, it's ridiculous. But we're stuck till 2027 on that. And so that's why the Braves are where they're at. And that's why, I mentioned this before, but that's why you'll notice a lot of our contracts that we sign guys to long terms and trying to keep them at that 22 number and blah, blah, blah. A lot of those run just past the 2027 season because they know that when we hit 28, 29, 30, those are the years that your Atlanta Braves are going to start having much deeper pockets and be able to compete. Now, they're not going to be ridiculous at the level that some of these others are, but they're going to have a lot more than the 203 mark that we had. So right now we're looking at about roughly the number. If they don't bring back Charlie, if they don't bring back Rosario, if they don't re-sign Soroka, if they let the other guys walk, we're looking at roughly between 55 and 60 million to play with. Possibly more if they decide to be a little more aggressive in the free agent market. And the reason why I'm leaning towards thinking that Rosario is going to be a casualty, and there have been a lot of writers that have been predicting that he's not, that he's going to come back, that $9 million is a good deal, yada, 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 right? But the reason why I believe that's probably not going to be the case, Anthopoulos talked about it at the trade deadline. They were trying like hell to add what he said was a difference maker at the plate. And the only spot that he could have put that into the lineup would have been left field. You're obviously not benching any of your infielders. Though Arcia had his struggles at the plate, Lando Arcia, hell of a glove. You weren't getting rid of him. You're not benching Acuna, obviously. You're not benching Michael Harris. His glove was way too damn valuable. So the only spot he could be talking about is left field because Ozuna had the designated hitter role on lock and he was tearing the cover off the ball at the deadline. So that's the only spot we could possibly have been talking about. And so if they free up that money, left field's going to be a real option along with some of the guys that are going to be available moving forward into the pitcher market. And look, there are some big names. I know Blake Snell is going to be the biggest name that everybody's going to be wanting to go after in free agency this year. And I get that. Everybody wants to dream big. Blake Snell is going to command top dollar. And the Braves don't pay that for pitchers. They never have. So what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about as far as guys. Now, look, the Shohei Ohtani rumors are going to start. I know that it's not happening. You have to look at what the market value is. Shohei Ohtani is going to be an unrestricted free agent. His market value, because he can play both, they won't even speculate it on spot track, but I can tell you right now it's going to be around the $60 million range. Because when you look at the fact that an elite pitcher nowadays gets over $30 million, an elite batter nowadays gets about anywhere between 25 and 30 million. His AAV is going to be bare minimum 55 a year, but most likely 60 plus. You have guys like Marcus Stroman, but his market value is being pushed at 15 a year. I do not want anything to do, nor will the Braves sign Marcus Stroman. He's going to be 33 years old this year. What are we talking about? A guy that couldn't stay healthy down the stretch. Now, there is a possibility, and this has nothing to do with the Braves, but this is an interesting one. We'll go into all the free agents next week. But there is a possibility that Javi Baez opts out. I don't see it happening. He signed a long-term deal. He has an opt-out. He's making $25 million a year. His market value is being pushed at 11.7. So there's no way Javi Baez is coming back. Detroit, you're stuck with him. As far as pitchers go, Ryu is an unrestricted free agent. Clayton Kershaw is an unrestricted free agent, although I think Kershaw is going to retire a Dodger. So however longer he pitches, I think he's going to continue to come back on one-year deals with the Dodgers. We talked about Charlie Morton. Martin Perez is an unrestricted free agent, 32 years old. Lance Lynn has a club option. It's not getting picked up at $18 million. You have Wainwright's retiring. They have him listed here, but there's no need for it. Julio Urias would have broken the bank. But Julio Urias is in some big-time legal trouble. He's an unrestricted free agent, though he's 27 years old. As far as relievers, Josh Hader, unrestricted free agent. This one's going to be interesting to see who signs him. I mean, you talk about adding an arm to the roster. I'll take Josh Hader over any free agent pitcher on the market. Because if you can make the bullpen elite, you don't have to worry about as much as you're starting pitching. And we see this in the playoffs every year. The bullpen is going to be the reason why you make it or you don't make it. Now, the Braves starting pitching in the postseason wasn't that bad. Their bullpen was very good, but can you imagine if you could add a Josh Hader? Problem is, he's going to be 30 years old. His market value, they're saying, is $17.5 million. Yeah, Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta's going to spend that on a reliever. I really don't. Which means to bring him in, you're probably going to have to sign him to, he probably wants a 5-year deal. And rightfully so, he's earned it. But are you going to give him basically what would be an Edwin Diaz contract? He signed with the Mets, what was it, something like 5 years, $100 million? It was right in that neighborhood. And that's what Josh Hader is going to be looking for. Kyle Hendricks has a club option. It'll be interesting to see if the Cubs bring him back. It's for $16 million. His market value is 9.5, so there's a lot to look at there. Here's an interesting one. Will Smith is a free agent. 34-year-old Will Smith. His market value is 6.5. I don't think you can go home again. But Will Smith had a decent year this year. He was okay. Here's one that a lot of Braves fans talk about all the time, because as fans, we always want to go home again. Alex Wood is going to be a free agent. He's 33 years old. Of course, he's a Georgia Bulldog, ex-Atlanta Brave, all that stuff. His market value is about $6 million, but he's not really a starting pitcher anymore. He is a long relief guy. He is a guy that when you add him to your roster, you're essentially planning on doing a bullpen game that day. Here's another one that everyone's forgotten about. Reese Hoskins is an unrestricted free agent. And he's going to hit the market at 30 years old. His market value is at $21 million. It'll be interesting to see if the Phillies bring him back. How far do the Phillies go in the playoffs? Do they think that's the missing piece? But he is, he's going to be a hot commodity. Hell of a bat. This is my guy right here. I don't know if he'll entertain coming to Atlanta. There was rumors a couple of years ago. They didn't bring him back. Now he's in. Now he's in the ALCS once again. Michael Brantley. He's 36 years old. His value is right where Rosario is. $9.4 million. Would he sign a short contract to come to the Atlanta Braves, or does he just want to stay in Houston? He might retire. But he always gives you a very good professional at bat, and that's why I love Michael Brantley. We'll get into more of this next week. Go ahead and get out of your hair. Once again, tonight, we're going to have Game 7, 8:03 first pitch, pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of the ALCS right here on Braves Country Radio. Find us on YouTube today, youtube.com/@Braves Country. And hopefully it'll be a fun matchup. Christian Javier versus Max Scherzer. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now. My pick to click is going to be someone on the Astros. I'm going to assume Yordan Alvarez. He comes up in big moments. And I think the Astros are going to finally get themselves a home win. Because I think, and he's proved it time and time again, Max Scherzer's done. He's cooked. And he'll tell you all the right things you want to hear in the post-game press conference. He's not going through that lineup three times, I don't believe. Giving the Astros bats to come out clubbing and hammering Max Scherzer. Give me the Astros to win this game. We'll say 8-3. And they'll head to the World Series and most likely face the Philadelphia Phillies. All right. Go ahead and get out of your hair. Have a great day.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same back time, same back channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th.